Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship. In this study, we will cover part one of our message from Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, the first four seals, the four horsemen. That's Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Revelation chapter 6, we're going to look at those first four seals and not the ones that go, ooh, ooh, ooh. We're talking about seals that seal a document. We talked about that previously. And that will introduce us to the four horsemen. This is going to take place chronologically at some point after the rapture. I say that because a lot of people have it in their mind, there's the rapture, then all of a sudden the Antichrist shows up and everything unfolds, and the Bible doesn't say that. It's a rapture, and then we don't know how much time. And some people fit the war of Gog and Magog in there and say that that is what precipitates the arrival of the Antichrist. Could very well be. And there's a possibility the Gog-Magog war of Ezekiel 38 and 39 could happen before the rapture. Some folks put it sometime at the end of the tribulation, but before Armageddon. I don't believe it's Armageddon. There's reasons why they're different. But anyway, some of those things are question marks. Hey, listen, you know, don't demand that everything fit perfectly or you'll go crazy. There are some basics we know. Don't let anybody talk you out of the fact that Jesus could appear at any moment and rapture you out of this world, though. That's what a lot of people are cashing in that for a mess of pottage called the post-trib rapture or the pre-wrath rapture. That's not true. But there are some things we just don't know for sure. But when the Lamb opens that first seal, actually it will not make that noise, I'm sure of that. But when that happens, the four horsemen ride. And there's probably one of the best artistic drawings picturing the four horsemen. We're going to see the horses with riders. White horse, red horse, black horse, pale horse. We'll talk about more of that in a little bit. But the best way to understand the book of Revelation is to know the other 65 books. From time to time, we need to look at things. Now, this is another example where when you read this, it's an Old Testament prophecy, so it kind of jumps around. It's not a neat, perfect picture, but if we look in Zechariah chapter 6, we'll see these four horses represented. You want to turn there, Zechariah chapter 6. We're not going to read all 13 verses, but from verses 1 through 13, we're going to look at a couple of those verses. Zechariah chapter 6. And we'll see these same color horses. Did I say that right? Color. Color. I can't hear the difference. They say I say the word collar wrong when I'm talking about colors. Color and collar. Anyway, you know, I always joke about it. It's like in the Bible where they said same shibboleth,
right. And
some of them couldn't say it, and they killed them. Mm-hmm. If we were at war, I'd come up here and they'd say color, color, they kill me. Zechariah 6, beginning verse 1, and I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. Now, let me stop you there for a second. Just like on earth, in heaven, not everything looks exactly the same all the time, okay? At this point, we're going to see these same four horses, but we're going to see them with chariots in a group, okay? Now, don't let that throw you. It's just like on earth. Sometimes you'll see me. Sometimes you'll see me and Jenny both. Sometimes we're in a big black CIA-looking Odyssey van. Sometimes we're in a little putter jumper that's white and the horn goes, beep, beep. You know, that's same people, just in different vehicles. Same things in heaven. Sometimes you'll see these creatures. Sometimes you'll see these things, and they'll look different than they do at other times. That should be expected. Heaven's a big, awesome place. Things are going to change from time to time. So it says, and the mountains were mountains of brass, which just speaks of the glory. In the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot, black horses, and in the third chariot, white horses, and in the fourth chariot, grizzled and bay horses, which are colors that are pale, just like the pale horses, or the pale horse we're going to see in Revelation 6. Now, I'm reading this just to give you the clue, the idea that this vision that we're seeing, these four horsemen, it's not the first time that a prophet had seen it. And these guys, if you want to call them that, play a huge role. God has a huge place for them. He says in verses 4 and 5, "Then I answered Zechariah and said unto the angel that talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' And the angel answered and said unto me, 'These are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth.'" Now, I'm not going to try to explain that to you, but that's what it says. "These are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth." It continues, 6 and 7, "The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, and the white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth toward the south country, and the bay," which is the pale, "went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, 'Get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth.' So they walked to and fro through the earth." See, what's going on there? We don't know. If you figure that out, give me a call. Because you'll be the first I've ever read or heard who knows exactly what we're reading here. We're just getting a glimpse of the Almighty God with creatures of an angelic state, but not all angels. There are all kinds of creatures in heaven that aren't angels. And these are some of them. The angel's talking to him, but the angel is talking about other creatures in heaven. And God, through the angels, giving them directions, telling them what to do. That is fascinating.
What are the rabbis of old look at that?
I didn't ask him. No, kidding.
Yeah, how do you do?
No.
Any Gentiles said, well, these are what rabbis from old times used to do.
What I did read was a couple of Gentiles who said that they studied all this rabbinical literature and that it's all a mystery to them.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure if you get into Kabbalah and that stuff, you know, who knows where they go with it, but... But to summarize, this story that we're reading leads us to the branch, who is Jesus. But in the Old Testament, he's called different things, including the branch with a capital B, returning to earth and building his temple. Look at verses 12 and 13. "And speak to him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." That's exactly the scenario in the book of Revelation. The four horsemen come along, and then after that, the branch, Jesus, returns to the earth, and he builds the millennial kingdom that you can read about in Ezekiel 40. All goes together like this. We just don't know all the ins and outs. We don't know every little thing, every little detail. But we're given a very good picture. It says, "Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." We're talking about Jesus here. Very exciting stuff. It's the future. It's the kingdom and the glory that we pray about. I mean, that's actually more of a Jewish prayer that we've prayed all of our lives. We call it the disciples' prayer. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread," you know, etc. But it ends, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." That's been taken out of you new Bible versions. They rob the glory. Try to, anyway. They can't take it out of our King James Bible. Amen? So, that's an introduction to these four horses. The white, the red, the black, and the pale. There's been some very good artistic drawings of these four horses through time. And the most important thing is that they get the imagery right. I've actually seen what we're going to see in a minute. That white horse, you notice he's got in his hands there? A bow. A bow. Okay? We'll come back to that in a minute. So verse 1 of Revelation 6, let's jump in here. Read that with me. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now, John has been placed in the Spirit. Remember, he says he's caught up. He says he was in the Spirit. He's caught up. You and I, we have the Spirit, and we can walk in the Spirit, but we're not in the Spirit. You see, there's a difference. But even in his state in the Spirit, when these angelic beings speak, it sounds like thunder. To you and I, it would probably just make us deaf immediately.
Yeah.
Blow our ears out. So he says, come and see. John saw what we're about to read. So as you're reading this, keep that in mind. John is actually an eyewitness to these things. God is outside of time. Okay? When John is seeing this, God is enabling him to stand next to him outside of time. That's all that happened. Time machines are fun to talk about. Fun to read about. There's a good movie called Time Changers that we might watch here sometime, because most of the people I've talked to haven't seen it. And it's a time machine story. Time travel is impossible. Just get that through your mind. Time travel is not possible. Unless God enables you. You're not going to come up with a time machine. But John traveled in time. John was seeing the future. And he was seeing it, not reading about it. And I have this picture up here. This is from Chick, one of his Crusader comics. And he's one of the few people who actually draw this right. Much of what people think of in regards to the four horsemen is not biblical. Do you see the guy on the white horse here?
Hope.
Amen. For the last 100 years, Protestants and evangelicals have been bought. Up until the last 100 years, and I'm being generous, it's really more like the last 40 or 50 years.
Yes,
the majority of Bible-believing, and I mean almost all, not just 60%, 70%, I mean almost all Bible-believing preachers throughout the centuries, that's what they taught. The Pope is Antichrist. Don't be surprised he calls himself that. He says he's the vicar of Christ. That means he's standing as Christ on earth. He allows people to call him Holy Father. That, there's only one place in the Bible, John 17, where that phrase is used. It's about God Almighty. He is called God on earth. Exactly what the Antichrist is going to declare when he stands up in the temple, but he's already declaring it today in the office of the Pope. There shall be many Antichrists. How many popes have there been? There have been many. There's coming one who will be the Antichrist, the last Pope. And I can tell you right now, Jack Van Impe bought. He stopped teaching this back in the 60s because he was paid for. I respect the man on a lot of other levels, but that, he was bought, paid off. A lot of your other well-known teachers, same thing. Bought and paid for by Roman Catholic money. TBN, the whole network, paid off. And it's documented. It's not just Jerry Falwell's known. Paid for by, and he also stopped speaking out against Reverend Moon because Moon gave him $1 million.
American Family Radio
is another one. Got them on tape telling a man who called in that they would not allow discussion of this on their radio. Why? Because of Roman Catholic money. Paid for. You can tell by looking, I haven't been paid for, I haven't been bought. If somebody's bought me off, they got by cheap, didn't they? I don't drive no fancy cars, don't live in no fancy house, but I'm growing a beard.
Yeah.
See, a lot of these guys won't even grow facial hair because they're bought and paid for. Anyway, let's read verse 2. Read it with me. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Let's see. A bow with no arrows. See that? He's given a crown. The Pope doesn't have a crown yet. He had one. He lost it. He's going to get it back. I'll just clue you in on something you won't learn on any of the major ministries. There's only a few of the even well-known guys like Ruckman, only a handful of them that teach this. It's a fact. Vatican State is not a religion. It is a state. It is a nation in the United Nations. Every country, including America, sends an ambassador to that country called Vatican State. They send ambassadors to every country in the United Nations. They are a state. The Pope is not a religious leader. He is the head of a state. They have their own Federal Reserve, their own Bernanke. They have a small standing army. They are now joining the European Union. When they become full members of the European Union, in rotation, the Pope will at some point sit as president of Europe, the revived Roman Empire. When he does, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. This seal, crack, thunder, first seal, that starts this. That seal will be broken at the time of which the Antichrist signs that 7-year or confirms that covenant with Israel for 7 years. When that covenant is confirmed, the seals begin to break. That's this little area down here on the chart called Jacob's Trouble, the 70th week of Daniel. There'll be a temple, there'll be sacrifice, you're back under the Old Testament for 7 more years. The Old Testament isn't done yet. There's more than one reason why we still have the Old Testament or Bible, because it's not over yet. And this will be broken down into 2 segments of 3.5 years. And in the middle of that 3.5 years is when he goes into the temple and declares himself God, ceases the sacrifice in the temple. That's the abomination of desolation. And that's when all hell breaks loose and things really go wild. But the first 3.5 years begins with the white horse, where he has a bow and he goes forth conquering and to conquer. He has a bow and a crown is given to him. And as I said, it's peace through strength. Now, that in and of itself isn't evil. That's Reagan. We didn't go to war while Reagan was president. He was not a neocon. The neocons, like Bush, are warmongers. Reagan was not. Reagan didn't want war. For that very reason, he made sure we had enough nukes that no one would want to bomb us and that we didn't have to go to war. Modern republicanism, modern neoconservatism is not Reagan.
Ronald Reagan would not be able to get elected.
Yeah, Reagan would have. Well, they did try to. They tried to shoot him back then.
Yeah.
You know.
But he would make it to the primaries this time around.
Yeah, do a little research on John Hinckley Jr. and the fact he was trained by the Bush family, and the Bush family is involved in the CIA and Planned Parenthood and gave millions of dollars to butcher babies, and they're involved in the et cetera, et cetera. There's a whole lot of history there that you don't get on TV or in the history books. This is not the Antichrist. He's an Antichrist. But he's not the Antichrist. How do you know that? Because I believe that the Antichrist will come to power by the means laid out in the Scripture, and he has not followed that role. Plus, he doesn't fit the mold. The Antichrist will be a Jew. A Jew genetically, not necessarily religiously. The Antichrist will be of Jewish blood, and a Jew was almost elected Pope this time. There
would
was
he be Christ age, 30 years.
That's a kind of an educated guess, but I believe so.
Yeah.
He's going to be a younger Pope. He will not be a member of AARP when they elect him. shoot, this guy was beyond that. I mean, what, how old was he, 80 when they elected him?
78, something like that, yeah, he's up there.
This guy is this the Antichrist. He will be, he'll have Jewish blood, and he will be from, at least born or raised in the area of Assyria. And there are other things involved in that I believe that he will be a Chrislamist, which the Vatican is being packed with right now. And that's people who believe that Allah and Jehovah are the same, that we need to get rid of all this stuff about the sacrifice of Christ and join together with Islam. Hey, Pope John Paul II called them brothers, said they prayed to the same God, and there's pictures of him kissing the Holy Quran. I mean, they've been laying that groundwork for a long time. The next one, I believe, will be more than likely the last one. Now, this is the kind of picture that, as cool as it is to look at, he almost looks like a girl. But it causes confusion because there's no indication there that this is the Pope. There's no indication of anything other than he's got a bow. And that's the kind of picture that's caused confusion. Now, we're going to go into more detail about this. And we get to Revelation 17, 18, it'll going to blow your socks off. As a matter of fact, I request everyone wear sandals. Because your socks will be blown when we get to Revelation 17, 18. And we see how everything in those chapters lines up with the unholy Roman Catholic Church and the Pope. It's amazing. And very few people have actually been taught that. I know a couple of you here have heard it before. Now, all over the Scripture, when it talks about the Antichrist, it talks about how he will come as this rider of the white horse with a bow and strength, conquering and to conquer, but not through war. Strength through peace, or peace through strength. In Daniel 8:25, look what it says. And through his policy. Well, you're going to hear that word. If you go home and watch the debate, you're going to hear that word over and over tonight. Yeah. Policy. What's that? Diplomacy. It means not going to war. It means talking. Yeah. What is it, Jenny, we do? We get together respectfully and have a conversation.
Dialogue.
Yes, dialogue. Yes. You know, that's what everybody's talking. And, you know, we said the theme in government today is, why have a 30-minute meeting when you can have an hour meeting?
Amen.
Yeah, it's a good... And through his policy, also, he shall cause craft. What? Now, the modern guys will tell you that's talking about machines and
industry.
Trade. Well, here's the thing is, the craft, Freemasonry, goes back to Masonry, which is a craft. Mm-hmm. Craft has a dual meaning. It has one here and it has one in the here now. Craft is the craft of Freemasonry, the craft of your trade. It also is connected to the craft within witchcraft, Wicca, the whole New Age movement. All that ties in together. Don't let anybody talk you out of believing what you read right there. He will cause craft. You won't be able to get a job unless you're in the craft. Here and here will tell everybody whether or not you're in the craft. See what I'm saying? Getting that? You're going to have to be in the craft. Right now, you know, you got ring, do the handshake, the oath and all that. You can get a good job. In this time, you don't get a job at all unless you're in the craft. And he'll cause it to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. You see, when he sings praise music, it'll sound like 104.9. And by peace shall destroy men. What? And by peace shall destroy men. Well, wait a minute. I thought peace with the upside down broken cross, I thought that would bring peace and love and joy. No. That kind of peace, upside down broken cross in a circle like witchcraft, shall destroy many. That's what's coming. Everybody's being brainwashed and prepared for it right now. He shall also stand up against the Prince of Princes. He will stand up in defiance of Jesus Christ. But he shall be broken without hand. Why? Because when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation, he'll speak and Antichrist will die. And everybody who took the mark, cast into a lake of fire.
Come, Christians, join to sing. long till I go.